NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Weilin Wong. All this week, we've been learning about the economics of the video game industry and how the medium has evolved into an immersive and highly lucrative form of entertainment. But there is a cost to putting out these complex products, and that cost is often felt in human terms.
Workers at video game companies are known for putting in long, grueling hours. This punishing schedule is so entrenched in the industry that it has a special name.
Crunch.
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 And crunch has long been treated as a necessary evil for producing high-quality games on time.
You always hear about crunch.
I've definitely done the, get there very early, like 3 or 4 a.m., and like stayed until very late sort of thing.
It was truly a lot of suffering until we were not suffering anymore.
But those attitudes are changing, and video game workers are organizing to push for better conditions on the job. Today on the show, we talk to some of those workers about how they want to improve their industry and start to make crunch a thing of the past.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley. Support for NPR and the following message come from State Farm. Florida State Farm agent Lakeisha Gaines shares how she works with business owners.
State Farm works with small businesses in a variety of different ways. We help to protect what they have. But in addition to protecting those things, we also help them to plan for their dreams.
Talk to your local agent about small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We've heard from a number of video game workers in our series this week that they first got into games by playing them as a kid. That was also true for Skylar Hinnant. He's a quality assurance tester at ZeniMax. That's a video game publisher that's owned by Microsoft.
The prestige of like working on something that you grew up playing like is really cool. So there is a certain level of passion tax that you pay to get into the industry.
A passion tax is when an employee might do unpaid work or put up with not so great conditions because they really love what they do. This may be a familiar feeling to people in creative fields or in helping professions like social work.
Skylar knows about the passion tax in video games. He was first hired as a contractor. That meant no paid time off or health benefits. The job could also be unstable. Skylar says contractors would sometimes be hired for 3 months, let go when a project was over, rehired for a different project, and then cut loose again.
And crunch was a normal occurrence for both contractors and permanent employees. Skylar says the thing about crunch is it wasn't like an occasional hiccup in the production process. It was planned for and expected.
It's sort of like this train that you can see coming from a mile away, but there's no way to avoid it because our industry has enabled it for so many years.
In a 2021 survey of game developers, 1 out of 4 workers said crunch meant working more than 60 hours a week. The entertainment press has documented more extreme schedules, and not just for developers, but across departments. For example, one executive said that the writers for the game Red Dead Redemption 2 worked 100 hours a week for 3 weeks.
Another report said that employees at Epic Games regularly worked at least 70 hours a week on the blockbuster game Fortnite. The company acknowledged that workers had put in extremely long hours in rare cases and said it was trying to keep that from recurring.
But making video games is a creative process, which means surprises can pop up. M. Geiger is an editor at Sega. Their job is to polish text that's been translated from Japanese to English. And M says that sometimes when they think they're all caught up, game developers will unexpectedly ask to tweak the copy.
We are just at the whim of the devs and higher-ups who are trying to get this game out as fast as possible, and it makes things a little bit difficult.
But M says they get it. M loves writing and cares about the work.
People work in video games because they play video games and because they understand intimately that it is a form of media that people are going to love and enjoy for years to come. And they want to make sure that the product is as good as it possibly can be. It comes from a place of love and dedication.
There's also an economic explanation for why video game workers put up with crunch. Joanna Westar is a professor of labor and employment relations at Western University in Ontario, Canada.
The problem here, and in Marxist terms, if you want to go there.
Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah, that there's a reserve army of labor, right? That's what we talk about in terms of labor demand and labor supply. If there are a lot of people willing to do the job, companies can afford to pay workers less. The working conditions could be more harsh. And if somebody burns out, then they burn out and in comes somebody else. And what we see in the game industry is that there is quite a large reserve army of labor.
Joanna also says that the video game studios get caught in something called the Iron Triangle of project management.
In the Iron Triangle, you need to deliver your game on time, on budget, and within the scope that you promised, right? You've got to build the parts that you said you were going to build. And what happens is that that starts to be so constraining that really the best piece of flexibility in that triangle is the workers themselves. The most natural thing to do is just say, all right, everybody, buckle in, here we go.
Executives have talked about this lack of wiggle room where neither deadlines nor budgets can stretch. Others have conceded that overwork happens and they're trying to address it.
For example, the studio that makes the Witcher game series says it's combating crunch by making sure employees are given comp time or extra pay for overtime.
But some video game workers aren't waiting for their employers to act. In the last few years, they've started organizing to push for better work conditions. Skylar Hinnant and about 300 of his fellow quality assurance testers voted in 2023 to unionize. They became Microsoft's first US union.
Employees at Sega of America also unionized in 2023, and they recently ratified a contract. Employee M. Geiger says the workers were encouraged by organizing efforts both within their industry and at other places like Starbucks. It's part of a generational shift where younger workers are more pro-union than older ones.
It really does boil down to a group of colleagues who just want to make the place where they spend so much of their time. They want to make that time more comfortably spent, better spent, more efficiently spent. They want to make it more livable for one another.
The Sega contract includes pay raises over the next few years, and it has protections for laid-off workers, like recall rights. That's a commitment to notify them first when there are open positions.
This protection is especially important to workers now because the industry has been rocked by mass layoffs in the last year and a half. Companies aren't seeing the kind of growth they were enjoying during the pandemic when people were staying at home a lot more.
At the same time, costs and time needed to produce blockbuster games have gone up significantly. And some companies have made expensive bets on things like blockchain technology that didn't pan out. The fallout has resulted in thousands of workers losing their jobs.
Elise Willeke is among those workers. She was a quality assurance tester at Sega. And she says she's relieved that her union secured recall rights for laid-off workers in the contract.
It feels like every company will hire big and then lay off in the start of the year. So to have the right to like be the first person contacted when a company starts hiring again really is important.
Still, the layoffs have been brutal and demoralizing for the industry. Elise says some of her former co-workers are considering switching over to software or web development.
It really is tragic to see a lot of this like passion kind of just bleed out of the industry at a time like this. Just people are over it.
Do you feel over it?
Me personally, I think I'll always be into games. I love this industry. Working on something you love is so fulfilling in a way that other jobs can't really compete with. So I don't think I'll ever fully leave, truly.
The video game workers that we talked to said they hope their efforts help make the industry more humane and stable, and that having a happier workforce will lead to better games. This episode was produced by Corey Bridges with engineering by Robert Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Keegan Cannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR. On the next episode, we will wrap up our series with a rundown of a few topics we couldn't quite get to. Check back in tomorrow to hear our final thoughts on the video game industry.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Support for NPR comes from ADP. Say you're in HR and a solar flare adds an extra hour to each day. How would this impact business? ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to help your business take on the next anything. ADP, always designing for people.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.